Before I get into sharing the message, we're blessed to have Brother Alan Erickson back with us from Tanzania.
Hallelujah.
I'd like Alan to come and share some highlights from the trip. We were on the phone well over an hour, and he was touching the tip of the iceberg. So,
good luck with that.
By the grace of God, you condense it down. But God did so much there. So excited. I'm excited. I'm excited to hear from you. I'm excited to hear again. And you're all going to be blessed. And allow vision to rise in your heart for the nations, for the unreached peoples of the world.
Good morning, everyone. And first of all, I'd like to thank you all for your prayers because they were needed. I ran into several challenging situations. As I texted a few people, including Pastor Bill, I go, well, so far the trip has been challenging in the flesh / my body, and yet awesome in the spirit. And I'm only going to share about 1 minute on the flesh part because I want to concentrate on what God did. I will tell you that when I got there, I stayed in a hotel the first night before making my trip further into the nation. And this hotel caters to internationals, so they know what we need to survive in their land. With that being said, somehow I got an amoeba inside of me while I was there. And I know not to use the water, you know, to drink bottled water and everything. In going back through the trip, they think I might have got it in a glass of fresh squeezed orange juice, that there was water in the glass, and I didn't see this being done. And if there's even a drop in there, well, long story short, I was really sick for about 2 weeks, which meant pretty much the whole time I was there. In the flesh, it was not fun. In the spirit, I had the time of my life, and I would go back tomorrow if I could, even knowing that that had happened while I was there. In fact, the Marabellas were saying, well, hopefully what you went through while you were here, that won't be what you think about when you consider coming back. And I'm like, no, that would never stop me. So I was excited, actually, to hear Pastor Bill's teaching this morning. And if any of you weren't here to hear that, I would encourage you to be here for those teachings. All I will say is what he taught today leads right into the part that I was going to share with you, that God said, here's what I should share in this short time we have this morning. And that is, while I was there sharing, I think before we left, I'd even talked to Pastor Bill, and it may have been something that I shared about prayer for. Those of you who know me, I'm a very planned and detailed, organized person. And so I have, when I'm going to share a teaching, it's almost all the time prepared. I could give it 2 weeks before I'm to give it, and because I'm ready then. Well, before this trip, God said, just show up, don't prepare anything. Now, for someone who's God's wired that way, this sends you into a little bit of a panic. Okay? And I actually went to Pastor Bill. I go, would God really say this to me? Because, now once again, I had an idea, it was my own flesh. And Bill, Pastor Bill goes, yeah, he would. And I'm like, okay. So anyhow, I'm going there. Now, what he did encourage me through, he mentioned Pastor Dale had shared this and that they've both done this, that when you know that's the situation God's going to have you walk into and you're sharing for like 6 days, 4 to 5 hours at a time, said, have one teaching that you know you're going to start with. And it's the only teaching that I shared with both groups of people, and it was the first thing that I shared. And from there on, everything that God gave me, and this, you understand it's God, but when you're the one being used, you just see it so great. He gave me exactly what each group of people needed to hear from God's word for their current living situations. Over and over again, such that they're coming to me, they're sharing through interpreters, they're going, we've had other people come, and we know they're sharing the word of God, but they don't deal with what we're living in. And God had me share in each place exactly the main struggles they're dealing with. And that was so exciting to me, because they're just saying, you need to come back, because we need to hear more of what you've got to say to us from God's word. And that excites you when you hear that, when you're the one doing it. But to tie in with what Pastor Bill shared at the beginning, they would call me teacher. And that's about, they really didn't even know my name, even though I'd been introduced. So throughout the whole trip, I was teacher. And I can tell you that more than once, I know at least twice or three times, I took time to say, you do know that, yes, I'm teaching you, but if it's just me and I'm coming here to share this with you, you're not getting what you need to live your life. It's the Holy Spirit that's giving it to me, And even if he gives it to me, if he's not here and getting it to you, you're not going to get it. And so I was sharing that with them several times, going, I might be the one that you're getting the message through, but it's not from me. This is all God. And I could tell it was all God because I was teaching, and then he'd say, well, now share this tomorrow. And I'd be going back to my little room and preparing another teaching. In fact, one time it was two teachings, and then I'm ready for the next day, and well, now I've got another day. What am I going to share? And it just, he gave me exactly what I needed for them, what they needed each and every time. And that excited me to no end. I mean, when you're there and you're doing it, to me, there's no greater. We talk about being high or, you know, just pumped up. I was so excited while I was there because I knew it was God. I knew it wasn't me. And I could see the people. I mean, I'm watching them and they're hanging on every word and the questions they're asking. After each teaching, we made it a point to spend about 15 minutes. Where Donna Marabella would come up. She speaks. I was speaking through two interpreters because in each place we had at least two groups with two different languages. But she speaks both of the languages. And, of course, English. So she would come up after I would share, and then she would ask questions to see if they got what was shared. In some cases, we needed to clear some things up. But overall, by the time we were done, they got everything that God had for them, and it was so exciting. There were a couple times it was good having her there because I'm going through two other interpreters, and a couple times she stopped him and said, that's not what he said to the interpreters. She says, tell them to say this. And I could literally tell once they corrected it, the people would go, oh. And you could see now that they've got it. They had an understanding. In particular, one place we were talking about, one of the tribes, the Tungwe. When you go into a Tungwe village, the first two people you meet are the chief and the witch doctor. And what you have to realize is the chief doesn't control the people, the village. The witch doctor controls the chief, and then he runs the village. So there, they're dealing with demon spirits, demon-possessed people, witchcraft, every day. It's not like hidden here. It's in your face. In fact, the way one of the villages described it when the Marabellas came in was, we didn't know there was anything other than what we lived under, and all we ever saw was darkness. And that's all there was. They didn't know light. Until the Marabellas came, and the first time they came, they noticed something, and then they left, and the darkness came back. Well, after the third time they showed up, they said, here's what we're seeing, and we've never seen this before. And when they would show up, the light and God would show up. And this, of course, now they're explaining it to them, and they're getting it. But they really had no perception of what it was to live and see God or see light. All they ever lived in was darkness and evil spirits. So one thing, they're very sensitive, especially the Tungwe, to the spiritual realm. But all they've ever known is the evil side of it. So when you bring in God and light and the right side, they're actually more accepting. They see the spiritual significance even more so than I would say people in the United States, because we often are dealing in the flesh and we see things with our eyes, and they literally see everything in the spirit realm. And so when the true God and the right spirit is introduced, they grab onto it in a way that's just different. It's all I will say. And it's actually exciting to see. I love seeing that. But they literally didn't know that that's what they were living under, because they didn't have any other thing to see it by. They just live under darkness and evil all the time. So as they go into these villages, they actually always share what's known as the Jesus movie. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. They put up like big blankets, and then they run this movie, and they say it's really interesting to watch because they also have no concept of fake or false or not real. See, everything is real to them. So when they see this movie, they think it's real. And they're showing Jesus dying on the cross, the one sent to save them. And to them, it's real because there's no concept of fake. And so this movie really grabs them. And then they share Jesus with them in person after the movie's over. And many people are saved all the time in these villages. They've led many to Christ. I got to share with about 20 pastors, probably about 10 of their wives were there, of these different Tungwe villages. And what excites me most about that is now they're going to take what they got and what they needed to hear back to these villages that I have not been to. And that was really the last thing as we left. They said, well, next time when you come, this is the way they worded it. This is not me saying, next time when you come, we want to take you to these villages, which is as Pastor Bill shared with me one night, first travel with him, he goes, we like to take people out in what you'd call like a sea-level mission trip where it's not too strenuous so you don't get scared away for any more of them. Okay. Well, I will tell you, this one was like a B-level trip. There were places and things that were much more challenging than anything I'd ever dealt with before. And the next trip, if I went on that one, it would be an A. So they're saying, yeah, we want you. And they said that after, well, we've seen how you dealt with being as sick as you were, and yet God used you through the whole thing. And there was literally, I didn't complain about it, but I was sick. They knew I was sick. And they said, if you can do that, you can handle this. So they said, you need to come with us to the villages the next time. So, but I did want to share a couple of needs for them or prayer requests. They're involved in many different ministries, or it's their ministry, but they're reaching many different people groups throughout the nation. And so they're reaching, the first group of people I was with was the Maasai in the Ngorongoro Crater. The Maasai are currently going through a very severe drought. They rely on their cattle for a living. They're herdsmen, and all their cattle are dying. Last year, they get 6 months of heavy rain and 6 months where there's no rain at all. Well, last year during the rainy period, they didn't get all the rain they normally get. Therefore, it was extra dry heading into the dry season. Then at the end of the dry season, which should have ended about a month ago, the rains didn't come. And so now it's already extra dry and there's no rain. So there's no grass for their cattle. So their cattle are literally, I saw hundreds of them laying along as we drove in the roads, just carcasses and bones laying around. The cattle that are alive, you've watched these TV commercials that are made to pull your strings about giving money for either animals or people. Well, that was their cattle everywhere. It was just skin draped over ribs, okay? And they actually apologized the first day I got there. To them, there was about 60 people there. And they said normally there's about 100 or 200 people in the church. But they explained that the men are out saving their cattle because if they fall to the ground, if they don't get them up immediately, they're dead. They'll get animals, will get them, whatever. They just die. So they're all out working together among their different herds to lift cattle up, take them somewhere else, back closer to their home or whatever, to save the cattle that are still alive. So they apologize. I'm going, you know, you don't need to apologize to me. I get it. They're not going to be alive. The people themselves are all skin and bone, too. This is not just affecting their cattle. This is their livelihood, and this is how they survive. So they're going through a tough time. With that being said, taught many different teachings at that place. The last teaching I did was on prayer. And God led me to share that at the end. We did a teaching on prayer. And to end the prayer teaching, I said, okay, now here's what we're going to do. We've learned how the Bible shows us where to pray. But now I'm not going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to be praying, but we're going to pray as we've been taught. But when you get to the part where, now here's where we ask God what we need for, and we all know all of you need rain. So now you're going to be praying in faith because I taught on faith. And this is how we're going to say, God's going to send you this rain now. And so everyone there prayed. Don't know what they said, but I know what they're praying about. We all did, and the next day the rain started. And it rained. We checked back like 3 or 4 days in a row. So the rains have started. Now, with that being said, it takes about a month for the grass to get to the length to sustain the cattle. So after the first week, there was just little shoots of grass coming up. That's enough that the little calves can get at it. So it started to help the little ones. It's not to the place where it can help the older ones. So praying for those cattle that are alive to stay alive because they really need them to. We also were able to, we were taking in food for the people. And we took in, I think, about 800 pounds of food between the first couple, two out of our three trips to them, beans and dried corn. Well, when we saw their need and know that even if the rain starts, it's going to be another month before they can live, I was able to give because of a gift given to me to share with them, as well as they took their funds knowing they're leaving tomorrow for their 3 months out of country. They're there 9 months of the year. And so they drained their account with what I had, and then we bought a truckload of stuff to send it in to help them live to the point where the rains that are now there will be able to sustain their cattle and them. So that was a great praise report, seeing that literally they've been praying for rain for quite some time, and we shared, and we all prayed together, and the rain started the next day. So that excited all of us, and we were able to help do what we could to help sustain them until that month period is up. With the Tungwe, the other group with the pastors and leaders, what stood out. There were several things. One which wasn't shared with me before I went in the natural. When you get there, you find out that of course they live on the top of a mountain. And now I have this sickness, and by this sickness I mean I was going to the bathroom every 10 to 15 minutes around the clock. So now this means I'm running to the bathroom, which is one of those like in the floor type things, and it's like 50 yards up the mountain from where I'm staying. So each time I'm going, I'm running up 50 yards, and it's in the dark. And then they explain to me about the snakes that are all over the compound. And these aren't just playful snakes. These are the type you bite, you kill, you're dead fast. And so I'm out with my flashlight running up and down the hill looking for snakes as I go up and down the hill, which wasn't – it was pretty exciting to me, but not what I wanted to deal with is all I can say. Because if there's one thing in this life that I tell people, some people will mess with snakes. I see a snake, and I'm going the other way. You know, I don't even want to see one. And they're explaining these stories. Two of their guard dogs died from being bit by black mambas. They have puff adders inside. They just climb over the walls. They've got 10-foot wall around half of their complex. Their other half isn't walled in yet, and they've got to get that done next year, or else they'll lose the land that they actually bought. They'll lose it because there, if someone comes and squats on the property and stays there for an extra period of time, it becomes theirs, even though someone else has paid for it. So they have to get that walled in. They didn't have the finances to finish the other half. So that's another prayer request, is that they have the funds to close in the other half of their area for next year. But anyhow, the last day I was teaching there, my second interpreter, the Maasai, who was teaching or speaking Swahili, he disappeared. And they explained to me why he left. And it was because two of the other staff had spotted a puff adder close by, which is a very poisonous snake, and they didn't want it coming and getting around the people and biting. So he went off to help kill the snake while I was teaching, and then he came back and became part of the teachings again. And I'm going, okay, you know, that's, you know, once again encouraging. I'm going up, and they're just killing them around here, and like, not the greatest. But I can tell you there was no fear. But I have a great respect for them, and I was really watching for them as I was going up and down the hill. That is all I will say. But what God did by... To me, the most exciting thing was every single thing that they needed, God gave me, and it was all him. I literally had nothing to do, but I knew it was him because I knew it wasn't me, and I could see from them what they were saying, how they were reacting, that they were getting exactly what God needed so that they could take it back to their villages and reach people with the truth of God that applies to their life as it is today specifically and put it into their lives and into practice. That was exciting. So I want to thank you for your prayers. It was, to me, like I said, I'd go back tomorrow if I could. I loved it. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. That was a condensed version. Well said, well spoken. Well, it's exciting to be a part of that, and there are... untold number of groups like that, waiting for light, waiting for someone to come. And the great harvest I talk about so much, the end times, is that. It's going to be people going to the ones that have not heard yet. I mean, it'll be people like place like this as well, but it's really, it's about these, the ends of the earth. Every tongue, every nation, every tribe. So that is so exciting. Praise the Lord. I like snakes one day, Alan. One way. Dead. That's the only way I like a snake. There's some people like to play around with them, but God called Satan a snake, so I feel justified in my emotion there. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the word. Lord, as we get into your word, may there be an impartation to us today in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to share a short word with you here. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. Romans 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation works patience. Patience, experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God shed abroad in our heart. The more you experience Christ in any way, the love of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the more you actually experience him, you have greater expectation. That's where it's saying that experience works hope, where you have even more hope. So what should be happening as we're proceeding on in our spiritual journey is that our expectation of the Spirit of God working in our life should increase. We've seen him work here. We expect him to work again. You know, there may be a time in your life where you have a financial need and you see God move. He might prompt you to give and to sow, and you see him move. So then along the way, you have another need come up. Well, what's the big deal here? God did this here. He hasn't changed. He'll do it again. So your expectation grows to where as you have a need arise, it's almost amusing to you, funny. Well, Lord, you've done it before. We need $1,000 by Tuesday. Ha, 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 ha. How are you going to do this? And your expectation of him grows more and more. The more you abide in his presence, you're walking with him, you just have expectation. Now, the three things that comprise life in the Spirit is faith, hope, and love, according to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, or verse 13. Faith, hope, and love. Now, abides these three, the greatest is love. So we should always have hope or expectation of God because of who he is. Now, many people, they learn to expect bad things. Well, yes, about time something bad happens. Something always bad happens to me. Well, that's just my luck. Boy, I hate to hear that. Just my luck. Well, don't live by luck. Live by expectation of the presence of God to move in your life. Hallelujah. And again, and the more we experience him, that's what we expect, God to move in our life. That's what we're looking forward to. I remember when Jared was first born, he was 3 weeks old. We lived down by the river there, and I used to take about a 5-mile walk at sunrise every morning, just pray. It'd take a couple hours and walk and pray. And I was coming back up to my house, and my mother was there. And typically then you had like a 3-week checkup with babies. I don't know if they still do that or not, but that was back then. And my mother was just leaving, just came out and said, oh, the doctor said Jared has a hernia. And I'm standing there on a bridge, and I just began to break out laughing. Ha, ha. And she probably thought I was out in the sun too long. And my marbles, you know, were rolling out. I'm standing there laughing at that word. But the reality of Jesus Christ being the healer, because he did a miracle before he was born in the first place, when my wife was beginning to miscarry, he did a miracle. It's like, this is no big deal. Went in, laid hands on him, he was healed, and that's the last Jared ever heard of a hernia, and that's, what, 39 years ago, whatever. And the Lord did that, but just abiding in his presence and knowing him in a certain way, you just expect God will be God. And that morning I had read and was fresh in me what Smith Wigglesworth said, that the man of faith sees everything as an opportunity. So here was an opportunity for God to be who I knew him to be, which was Christ the healer of my baby son. He had opportunity. So I gave him the opportunity to be who he was, who I knew him to be. So the more we go on walking with him and experiencing him, our expectation should be even more. Praise God. Well, coming back here to verse 1, says we're justified by faith. In the previous chapter, we spoke of righteousness by faith. We're now at peace with God through Jesus Christ. God's not in opposition to us. He doesn't. Our sins have already been judged on the body of Jesus Christ. We're at peace with him. And being at peace with him, we can enter into peace of him, or the fruit of the Spirit. So it's by him we have access. You know, people give big donations to people running for presidents and political offices so they have access to them to get favor that they would do something or make a law or a ruling to their benefit. We have access to the creator of the heaven and the earth. You already have favor with him. You don't have to even like bring any money to buy it all. You already have favor. He's already moved to do everything. Just as in the world, people think, oh, pass a law that'll favor my business. He's already moved in the person of Jesus Christ. He's already provided. You have access to him. There's no greater blessing. You have access to him by faith into this grace, or the influence of God, the work of the Spirit of God. We have access to that. Wherein we stand. We go through things during our journey in this life, but we need to have a positional stand. My life's in him. All that I need's in him. I'm going to pursue him, therefore, as a result. We stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There is a hope for you. A hope to glorify him, which is the reason why you exist on planet Earth, to bring glory to God. God doesn't exist to bring you pleasure. According to Revelation 4:11, you exist to bring him pleasure. And you're not limited by your own ability, but it's by the power of the Holy Ghost, who he has given to you, who he sent to live and abide within you, the person of the Godhead, living his life in you and through you. There is hope for you. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in us is the hope of glory. The hope of glory. Say this with me. There's hope for me. There's hope for glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We should expect that. We should expect it. Hope of the glory of God. So we rejoice. And not just in that, but we glory in the test, the trial, the tribulation. Now, what he's saying is we need to rejoice in the hope before us. And an application I want to make is that we need to know we're moving forward in him at all times. There is always a hope before us, a confident expectation. There's something that God has for us. You must keep moving ahead. You cannot stop. Many times people are stopped because of a death, possibly, of a loved one. Stopped because of a physical infirmity. They're stopped because someone hurts them and they become bitter. They're stopped by unforgiveness, stopped by unbelief. But we need to be of the mindset that nothing's going to stop me from moving forward in the plan of God, the purpose of God, and for the express purpose of the glory of God. I will not be stopped. We need to have a no-quit attitude. When I coached our high school basketball team, something I stressed, you never quit. We were the smallest Christian school in South Central PA that had a team. We play bigger schools. A lot more kids to pick from who are athletic. Most of the time we get whooped. But I tell the guys, you don't quit. Keep setting a goal to win the second half, to win the fourth quarter, to win the last 3 minutes against their second team. I don't care what it is. You don't quit. The object of the game is score. You keep trying to score down to the last minute. I don't care if we're getting beat 55-5. I don't care. You don't quit. And that needs to be instilled strong in us. We will not quit. No matter what you encounter, no matter what happens, no matter if you're knocked down, the Lord will raise you back up by his resurrection power. Whether you failed and sinned, he'll forgive you and restore you back to where you were. There's always a hope in God. If you have your hope in the flesh, it can be dashed. If you have a hope in people, it can be dashed. If you have a hope in accomplishment, there can be failures. If your hope's in money and financial things, that can come to an end. There can be a war. There can be a recession. But God still is who he said he would be. And in the midst of all of it, he'll still be your provider. He'll still be your healer. He'll still be your deliverer. He's your all in all. There's always a hope for us. And everything we go through is merely an opportunity for him to be who he said he is, who you know him to be. Just don't quit. Don't quit. Knock down, get up again. Stand up tall again. Let God raise you up again. Hallelujah. When you understand this, that the things that come against you can work for your good. When you understand, when you know that, it forces you to press in a greater way. Then you can rejoice in the tribulation. You don't say, praise God, my little boy has a hernia. Well, thank you, Lord. I know you'll do something. No, that's not the reaction. But rather, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you revealed yourself as Christ the healer. I will walk in that door, lay hands on him, and he shall be healed in the name of Jesus. It's done. Therefore, God is glorified in the fact that he healed him, not the fact that he had a hernia. He's glorified in the fact that he healed him. He's glorified when he moves in your life and through you. So we can rejoice at the negative in the face of the negative. We glory in the tribulation or in the midst of it. We can still rejoice because he still is our God, creator of heaven and earth. Jesus is still on the throne. He was raised from the dead victorious over the devil. He forgave us of all of our sin and everything that hindered us. So as you're going through something, set your faith in God. It's by his ability and his power. Hold fast to your hope. Ultimately, our ultimate hope is heaven itself. And no devil can take that away from you. No circumstance can take that away from you. When your time's up here, it's up. But heaven's before us. Eternity in the presence of God. Glorifying him. Hallelujah. There's hope for the glory of God. We've got to let go of the things behind us. Let go of the hurts, the wounds. Let go of the failures. Let go of any unforgiveness. You can't afford it. Don't hang on to bitterness. It will be your destruction. Let go. Keep pressing on in him. And as we keep moving forward in him, it imposes upon us the necessity draw near to him, to give ourselves to him, to present ourselves to him in faith and humility. It just presents that. And what we enter into is a place where we're continuing to experience him. We don't live by our experiences. You have experiences. Let them be God experiences. Experience him. Yeah, you're going to experience negative in this world. This world's has negative. It's evil. There's death in the midst of this world. But we can experience life in the face of death. We can experience Christ in the midst of evil. And what happens, there's a continual building of our hope. What are you expecting? What are you expecting? What are you looking forward to? What do you see for your future? Regardless of what's happening in the natural, I'm expecting Christ. Every day, expecting encounters with him. And I rejoice in that. I rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now we're approaching our national holiday of Thanksgiving, where we remember what he's done. Give thanks to him. Well, as a believer, we have Thanksgiving every day. Oh, today's Thanksgiving. He's blessed us so much. We want to present ourselves and offer our thanks and praise. We want to be rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God today as we enter into praise and worship together.